Welcome to the Star Wars Nerds Podcast. I'm Dan Vettivanker.
And I'm Kenton Larson.
And Kenton, I think I finally found the point in Happy Days. I've been watching Happy Days, as I talked about last episode.
Yeah.
I think I found the point at which it starts getting bad, but it's not quite the downhill spiral that people might think after the shark jumping episode. Happy Days, I'm into season six now. So this is the final season of the DVD box set I have. And the first awful episode was not the shark jumping episode, which I said I liked. In fact, it was the Valentine's Day episode of Happy Days. Are you familiar? Do you remember that one?
Is that the one where Ralph Melf sings My Funny Valentine, or is that a different one?
That's it. Yeah. And it's all singing. The entire episode are musical numbers from all the cast and various things.
Yeah.
And the whole premise, there's no story to it. The whole premise is that Joni is daydreaming every one of these numbers. And so she's like, oh, Richie's such a good brother. And then there's a Richie singing to his girlfriend. I'm like, what the hell is this? It's not like even a story. It's stupid.
Was that a summary? Was that clips from other shows?
No.
That was all new.
Yeah, it was all new, but they shot it in a really weird way. Like, you could tell that they shot all the musical numbers together on, like, a darkened stage, probably the same stage, like, the audience is sitting in front of for the show, and then they shot either one. They did one or the other, but I imagine being, like, the audience coming into this and seeing them shoot, like, a couple of individual scenes that make no sense, and then all these musical numbers, and they're, oh, my God, Chachi cannot sing. Holy shit, Scott Baio was awful, god-awful. And it's like, it's horrible. And that was it. That was the horrible episode.
What does Scott Baio sing?
I don't remember. I don't remember any of it. It's just the worst episode. But it doesn't continue to be bad. It gets better. So there's like up and downs. But it does kind of get, I don't want to say gimmicky, but you can tell they're starting to try things. Like there's definitely like a trend of starting the season with a three-part story. So they do like they did the shark one was the season five. Season six, they went out west to be on a ranch to help their uncle or somebody save the ranch. It was like a
terrible.
It's terrible. It's a story right out of Gunsmoke. It's like every other, you know, oh, the evil person is coming to buy out our ranch and we're gonna be out of a job or whatever. Like, it's just so bad. I mean, it's funny, it's Happy Days and it's funny, but it's not horrible. But yeah, that was the Valentine's Day episode. It was just horrible. And I'll say this before we move on, that I got to your least favorite episode, which is the one where Fonzie starts dating a single mother, right? But it wasn't what I thought it was. I thought it was going to be more like, because I thought this was based on something that happened to Henry Winkler in real life. Like, his wife, when he met his current wife, she had a son. So he was a stepfather to a young boy and had this kind of situation. And maybe that is what inspired this story in Happy Days, but it's like, Fonzie's dating this girl. He loves the kid. He's spending all his time. He's playing with him. He's like right into it and really loving the dad. He didn't have a dad, right? Fonzie's dad left. This kid's dad also left. Like the kid's father left when he was three and hasn't been back. And now he's now like 10 almost. So there's all that stuff happening. But then out of the blue, and I love how Happy Days, it happens out of the blue because they don't have time to work up to it. It's just like next scene, boom, this thing happens. And now you're devastated. The mother comes back and says, tells Fonzie that she's going to give it another try with the kid's original father, the kid's father who left, the one who went away. But oh, they're going to make it work. They're going to get back together and be that perfect, happy family. But they need Fonzie to back off. That's the thing. Fonzie can't be in the kid's life because then he won't accept his father. He'll always want Fonzie. And so it became really weird at the end. It was like, because Fonzie wasn't listening to anybody. He was like, no, I'm going to hang out with the kid. I like the kid, whatever. Hey, you know, Fonzie. But they're trying to say, no, please, like, respect the mother's wishes and let the father come in and be. So they're at Arnold's and the dad comes in to get the kid. And there's a bit of Fonzie's challenging him. And then as soon as the dad raises his fist to hit him, Fonzie goes, oh, no, don't hit me, don't hit me. And he acts all cowardly and afraid. And this is so the kid will not like Fonzie and want to go with his dad because his dad is tougher. That is the message they're giving there. The go with a tougher, stronger person. Don't stick around with this coward, Fonzie. I want to be with my dad because he's strong. He literally said that. It's so on the nose. It's so weird.
What
that
a lesson.
A bit of a bad one, too.
That's a good lesson. That's a good lesson. That was
funny.
I thought Fonzie went into his PTSD mode when he said, don't hurt me, don't hurt me. And I was felt bad for him, but then he's acting like a coward. That's the opposite reaction that you have.
Right. And then as they're leaving, the dad looks at Fonzie and goes, thank you. Like, gives him the, like, thanks for doing that, buddy. Because everyone recognized what Fonzie was doing in that moment, except the kid, right? So everyone's like, oh, good guy, Fonzie. And it's like, he was being really weird, like, a second ago. Like, I didn't buy that was an act, you know? Anyway.
Cowardly
I really
game.
Enjoyed it.
Cowardly game recognizes cowardly game.
That's right.
That's
yeah,
great.
Still, I guess it is starting to decline. I guess it is a little more gradual than I thought. So we'll see. I've still got a few more episodes left in the sixth season. I'm not going to go and seek out the rest of it anytime soon, but I am quite enjoying these episodes of Happy Days. It's a lot of fun.
It's fun to watch. I like watching throwback shows. Particularly, I love seeing storylines that would be solved if somebody had a smartphone. Like, there's lots of that going on. Where
every
like,
episode of Knight Rider is pretty much that.
Right.
Although
exactly.
No, Knight Rider, they kind of do have a cell phone because Kit, they can call Kit right. directly, so they do have that. But there's a lot of episodes of where he's not in Kit and he can't do it because he doesn't have a phone, oh. right? For sure.
That's right. Yeah. And you have to. So, but I like that. I kind of miss that. I kind of miss the. No, I don't have a clue what happened today. It's all a mystery to me, and then I'll find out. In the paper tomorrow.
Well, not only that, but they also use it as an opportunity for like telling the story again and reiterating what's happened for the audience so they can, oh, where were you? Oh, this is what's happened. And they'll kind of sum it up so everyone kind of is on board with what's going on in the story. So it's kind of a storytelling method. But yeah, it's I like the retro TV. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that's actually going to bring me to our topic today, which is going to be, no, what are we talking about? Oh, Star Wars. So I was going to segue into a different topic. Never mind. Let's go to, we're doing the Star Wars thing, right?
We're doing the Acolyte trailer because we've got about half an hour and any other topic we'll talk an hour about. But the Acolyte, it's a short trailer.
Yeah.
And we could probably, I think there's, you know, there's enough to talk about in this very short trailer.
Yeah, I think so. And so, but this is, we're not like, you know, we're not the first on this. You know, this has been, this has been out for a while, right? 2 weeks ago it's been out, Star Wars, the Acolyte. Can you see it okay, Kenton?
I can see it great.
Awesome. Okay. So we have, now this is, let's talk about what this is first, because I'm not, have not been really keeping up with this stuff. So what is it a series or a movie?
It is a series, that launches in June, beginning of June, and it takes place 100 years before The Phantom Menace. So Yoda is still getting it done in this time period.
Okay,
but,
yeah.
But not that he's in this trailer. Okay. But
he is like, he's like 800 years old.
Right. Here. Still a wise old Jedi, no doubt about it.
All right. But we don't have him. We have another. This is the same guy as Jon Favreau's character in Solo, isn't it? That guy with all the arms? I think that's what.
Oh, my God. No, it can't be.
Well, he only has two arms, though. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong.
But no,
he kind of reminds me of that guy.
They could grow them. Like, who knows?
Yeah. Like, is that a Wookiee? Remember that? Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, let's watch it then. So let's give this a watch. What's happening? Well, let's watch it and see what's happening, right? All right, let's go.
Close your eyes. Your eyes can deceive you. We must not trust them. Tell me what comes into your mind.
Life. Balance. I see fire.
Someone is killing Jedi. It doesn't make sense.
What happened?
I sensed darkness.
This isn't about good or bad. This is about power, and who is allowed to use it.
What is that?
Oh.
That's pretty cool. And it looks like, honestly, what I think about when I see that is, you know, that project that Pablo was involved with when they came up with all that, I don't know actually what came out of it, but they were developing storylines from like hundreds of years before the trilogy. So this probably came out of that, or came out of somebody who wrote in that or something. Like, I think that's why they were doing that, to try and find writers who could come up with good ideas for that, this timeline, for stuff happening outside that very specific time frame that we've always been in. So this, it's refreshing to see this. I gotta say, it's refreshing to see something that's not so Star Wars. Like Andor was like that as well, right? Not quite Star Wars.
Yeah, you know, I find the fact that, I mean, this trailer doesn't tell us a heck of a lot. The Andor trailer didn't really tell us a heck of a lot. And I'm sort of hoping that it's kind of the same vibe. But by the way, did you recognize the Asian man, the chief, who appears to be the chief Jedi teacher? Do you recognize that guy?
I did not, no. The voice sounds familiar, though.
Squid Game.
Oh, really? Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome.
It's the main guy.
That's awesome. And Carrie Ann Moss, Trinity, yeah, is in this. That's awesome. I love her. She's so cool.
Yeah. So there's some, like, some good actors in there. I think that first scene is a flashback. I think because you see the teacher you see with different haircuts throughout the video. I could be wrong, but I'm guessing that we're seeing some form of flashback to present day. Probably. And I have a best and worst case scenario for what this trailer means. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, go ahead. Let's see it.
Okay. Sure. I think the worst case scenario is it's the same story as the Obi-Wan Kenobi, which is we flash back, we see there that the little girl says, "I see fire," or whatever. So then we flash forward to the future and she has been corrupted. And it would not be that different from Obi-Wan Kenobi, like the Order 66 all the way up to, okay, now I'm corrupted. So that to me would be a little disappointing if it's the same general story. I think the best case scenario, and by the way, how old is Palpatine?
We don't know. I mean, he's like, you know, if you look at the... he kind of looks normal at the beginning of The Phantom Menace. So he's like in his, I would say, early 60s, maybe in that movie. But I don't know. I mean, if he uses the dark side, if he uses, like, how many clones does he have of himself? Really? We haven't established that yet. Right.
Well, remember when he tells the tale of Darth Plagueis?
Yes.
He discovers the secret to eternal light. I'm kind of hoping that now people who read the novels will probably tell me that I'm full of it because I don't know the timeline, and they'd be right. But what I'm kind of hoping, the best case scenario for me anyway, I want to see the Darth Plagueis and the Emperor as his Padawan. And I think that at the end, when somebody catches the lightsaber, now I can't tell. It looks like it might be an African-American hand in the glow, but maybe not. Who is that Sith is the big question. And the show seems to be about a murder mystery. Who's murdering Jedi? So
and you think it's Mace Windu?
Oh, Mace? I never even thought of that.
You think Samuel Jackson's going to be in this, is what you're saying?
No. I will bet $1 million he will not be in this. But also, in The Phantom Menace, remember, what's his name? Egghead. What's that guy's name?
Yeah.
Oh, Kai.
Conehead. More like a Conehead.
Yeah, Conehead, Kai Adimundi, right? I think that's his name. But anyway, he says, the Sith have been away for a millennium. And so this is the 100 years. That's the 100 years to which he's referring, right? Mm-hmm. So here's another thing that would be disappointing. If they end the series with them going, well, I guess we killed all the Sith, and then nothing happens for 100 years.
Right.
That's kind of a little...
It's going to end with the birth of Palpatine.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
He is 100 years. I mean, yeah. He could be 100 years old, right? He could be conceivably 100 years old, right? That makes sense.
Right. Well, like, who knows? If Darth Plagueis has figured out the secret to eternal life, one could imagine that the aging process could be different. So
what if Palpatine is Darth Plagueis?
No, well, he wouldn't tell that story to Anakin then about Darth Plagueis.
Talking about himself? likes to talk about himself.
His Padawan murdered him in his sleep. I love that. Kind of ironic. Haha. Like, that's, I like that story.
Or he was the Padawan, right? Maybe he was the Padawan.
Right. That's what. So I'm hoping it's something related to that. Now, I think some people are just sick of that story. And I think Rise of Skywalker kind of killed us for Palpatine, I think.
Yep, absolutely.
But what do you think when you see the trailer? Like, is there a bad or best case scenario that you see there?
I think you described a pretty good worst case scenario, so they kind of retread anything that we've seen before and it's familiar. And I don't think they're going to do that because I think they learned their lesson. I hope they learned their lesson from the sequel movies, which all kind of did that, right? Each one of those films, not so much The Last Jedi, but the first and third one really tried to be like the first and third movies, like Star Wars and Return of the Jedi. So they're not going to do that. I think that it could be just a completely different type of story told in this setting. I think the setting's really solid. I think they've really thought about what's happening right now in this universe, and they've really built out like a lore for the past 100 years, and not the 100 years, but just like maybe the few years leading up to this, where we're at. They've talked about, you know, they've gone back as far as like maybe 600 years, I think, in Star Wars. Like, there's like, what is Knights of the Old Republic? That's hundreds of years back, right?
I think so, yeah.
That's way back. So they've gone that far back. We've never seen that kind of stuff in movies and stuff like that. But we know they've thought about it. They've thought about that length of time. So they've built that up. They've come up with some really cool, you know, new looking things, new costumes, but still kind of look cool, like old costumes. And I think it looks good. Everything looks great about it.
And I think the
best case scenario is it's completely different.
And yeah, I hope so too. I think this is the High Republic era, right? I think
High Republic. That's what it's
called. So we are people who have not read the High Republic novels. There's only so much time in the day. And how many young adult novels do I want to read? None. I think folks who read those might have a better understanding of who we might see. Like, I think Yoda's a no-brainer. I think we're going to see a Yoda.
Sure. 3PO? No, 3PO doesn't exist yet. R2-D2, maybe?
Yaddle?
Yaddle.
Yoda,
oh, yeah.
Yoda, Yaddle. Yaddle. I mean, it could be an opportunity to show us where baby Grogu came from, but maybe not. Only if Yoda and Yaddle are a couple. Which they could still pull on us. That's possible.
They could totally do that. Yeah, that would be funny. That would be so funny.
It's possible.
Maybe she's pregnant. Maybe the pregnancy also takes 50 years.
Yeah, that's what
he's 50 years old. He's 50 years old as of Return of the Jedi, or just after Return of the Jedi. So that means he was born before The Phantom Menace, right? He was born like 20.
Oh, that would be right. Yeah, that would be
like 20-ish years before The Phantom Menace. So if she was pregnant, but that, what about Jar Jar Binks or something?
We
don't know how long those Gungans live.
How shameless will they get with people from other episodes or whatever? I think, like, what about Dexter Jetster? Okay.
I don't know. I don't think about that stuff.
No, I think none of them will be in there, including baby Grogu. Not a chance. But Yoda, I think, is a no-brainer. And I think maybe Palpatine, and if not Palpatine, Darth Plagueis, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Maybe Darth Plagueis is an apprentice to somebody. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? But I think there's good opportunities here to show us something we haven't seen before. The murder mystery angle, I don't know. Interesting, I guess. In Attack of the Clones, Ben Kenobi was kind of like a detective, kind of trying to find the source of the darts.
Dexter's help with that case.
So I think we could see something similar here. Like, they're trying to get to the bottom of a mystery. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It looks like there's all kinds of people in the cast. We don't have a clue anybody is in the cast. I think we're going to get some Matrix ninja fighting.
Well, that's why they hired Carrie Ann Moss, right? She's already got lots of experience.
Yeah, she's good. Sorry, go ahead.
Did I hear something about new Matrix movie? Is that coming out? Another one?
Good question. I don't know.
I might have heard rumblings of that, but anyway, go on.
I heard did you want to say anything else about the trailer before I spring a rumor on you?
Go ahead.
All right. I have this from no legitimate source, but I saw somewhere online, And if it were to happen, I think this is the place it would happen. But I read something that said that Keanu Reeves was seen shooting a cameo for something in Star Wars. And of course, if it was Carrie Ann Moss, it would be this, I think, where he might show up, and maybe he could be Darth Plagueis. That would be huge. Yeah. If that were to happen.
This is an actual rumor that's out there. Yes, is Keanu Reeves. Okay.
That he went there to shoot a small thing. And who the hell? That could be anything. That could be a special effect for something. Like, you just don't know.
Yeah, it's so funny how that kind of works. I saw a clip about, it was John Cena talking about his little walk-on Barbie. Because he was apparently going to be in the movie longer. I think he was going to be up for one of the major roles, like a more prominent role, maybe the Simu Liu role or something like that. But he couldn't do it, or he was doing something else. That he was doing the Fast and Furious movies, couldn't do it. And someone was telling him that it would like hurt his brand to be in that movie. But he did it. He was in, like, he does that little cameo where he's a merman. That's funny. And he's like, no, it's funny. And he just showed up there for a day. He's like half a day shooting, show up, be a merman, and that's it. And they do this kind of stuff all the time, the freaking time. And so there's little, and it's because it doesn't take any effort. And it's like, hey, I'm going to show up and act like, do whatever. And but it's a lot of fun for fans for that kind of stuff to pop up. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him. I don't think he's going to be a bad guy, though. I think he would be a good guy. Keanu can't play a bad guy.
You would imagine him as a Jedi, but that doesn't, they could flip the script on us.
He could be like an Imperial Moff or something like that. Like maybe somebody in charge, like a Grand Moff Tarkin kind of person. Maybe.
Yeah,
might have fun with that.
I guess there's no Empire at this point.
No, it's the Sith Lords. I think Sith is like a religion of the Sith are going to be the bad guys in this one. So we'll see where that goes. That's an interesting take. And again, the only time we've ever really felt like they were the bad guys was, I think, in The Phantom Menace. Because in the second trilogy, yes, Darth Vader's a Sith Lord, but it's the Empire that's the bad guys, not the Sith specifically. It's in the Phantom, I guess The Phantom Menace is the Sith and the Trade Federation. Whatever they did there. But it's like the Sith, like El Palpatine and Maul are Sith Lords. Like they are part of that organization. And so that was kind of the first time we've seen that. So that's fun too.
And while we're on the topic, there was a second trailer this week, I just remembered. And that was the animated series Tales of the Jedi.
Oh, okay.
And they flipped the script on that. And this time it's Tales of the Empire. Mm. So they still call it Tales of the Jedi. But so Tales of the Empire will once again be more stories about the Sith. And I think we're heading toward that path right now with Acolyte and with Tales of the Jedi. I think we're going to explore the Sith world a little bit more than what we've done before. I think that could be quite interesting. And you and I have gone on the record of saying we are not watching The Bad Batch. Are you still not watching The Bad Batch?
God, no. It's so bad. I was dying to find out. I watched the first four episodes, and I didn't realize that there was, like, a full season. I saw, and I misunderstood the advertising on Disney Plus, that said, watch The Bad Batch, episodes 1 to 3 or 1-3 or something. And I thought there was only 3 episodes of the season, and that was it. It said season 3, episodes 1 to 3. I'm like, oh, there's only 3 episodes? I guess they just did kind of a short final season to finish it. And then I watched 3 episodes and realized, oh, no, there's more. And then I gave it up. But the frustration thing for me was the not finding out what they're doing with those clones. Like, they're in some kind of place where the kid Omega is there with the tall, skinny aliens who are in charge of the cloning. Remember them? And so, but they're doing some kind of experiments for the Empire, right? This is Palpatine now. And it has to do with the clones. Now, we talked about this before. I think we talked about it being... We think they're looking for like force sensitivity, like trying to find those qualities and create a force sensitive clone, right? Somebody who can use the force. Same thing that they're looking for basically in Baby Yoda in the modern Mandalorian.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying hard to sort of tie it all together. And I don't, like, it's for kids. So I watch as much as you watched.
It was just boring. I couldn't get into it, right?
No, I couldn't get into it either, but I felt sleepy the instant it came on. Like, it was, I just didn't, the hook for me has never been there with The Bad Batch. And it's good. And it's great that other people love it. Like, I hear other podcasts talking about it like it's a brand new Star Wars movie came out. Everybody's so excited. But I just don't, I don't feel it. And I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the animation style. Like, Tales of the Jedi, I actually enjoyed quite a bit, season one. And the first season of the anime series, whatever that's called, I forgot. But anyway, that's a good, I enjoyed that very much too. But there's something about this style of animation and just the, and you know, it's good that there's stuff for kids. Like, I'm sure kids love it, but it's just not something that resonates with me. I think I'll probably, like, I'll watch maybe the last two episodes or something and just leave it at that. But what do you think? Are you going to watch anything or not?
Well, let's see. I want to wait and see if anything big happens. If they really, because they have in the past tied it into something interesting where it comes to this this idea that the clones are now kind of aging out of being able to fight. Like, they're going now with the stormtroopers, so they don't have use for these clones. And there's all these, and I think there could be a message there about veterans affairs and how to treat those who have gone to war and that kind of stuff. But I don't know. I'm waiting to see, but, or they'll tie it in as a major thing. Like, if they want to make it relevant, they'll tie it into some major event in the whole thing so that this is where we find out. Maybe we find out where Baby Grogu comes from somehow. Like, I don't know. They could do that, I guess. He's still alive right this time, right? So who knows? But I think I'm going to wait and see. I'm not watching it every week. I'm not, you know, dying to watch it.
No.
Just the Bad Batch.
No, but by the same token, I've been watching Invincible on Amazon Prime, which might be the best. Have you ever watched Invincible?
Yeah, I watched the first season, and I started watching season two, and then I kind of fell off of it. But it was interesting, to be sure. It's like an animated The Boys, basically, right? It's like super graphic, violent animation. And like, when that guy tears into the scene where that super guy, no spoilers, whatever, some guy kills a bunch of people, and he's got basically Superman powers. And so, like, he just destroys them and tears them apart. So it's pretty gory. But it's good. It's interesting. I like it.
See, that one for me, I'm watching it on the week to week. It's out every Friday. I think today it's out. And it's the last, and I mean, it might even be the last episode of the season. I don't even know. But that holds me, carries me through week to week. And I'm interested in what happens next. So it's not like I don't like any animation. But for whatever reason, I think probably the fact that The Bad Batch is for kids, and it's like, it's great. I'm glad that there's some Star Wars out there for kids that kids are into. But I just can't, as a man in my 50s, you know, sitting down there.
I can't watch this children's show as a man in my 50s.
Well, it's not really aimed at me. You know, exactly. Like, I shouldn't like it. I shouldn't be sitting there going like, this is for me. No.
That you don't like it is what you're saying, right?
I think that's the intent, as a matter of fact, that it's or if you have a family, that'd be different too.
Well, my kids aren't really into it,
but they're older than I think what
they
the
are
audience
probably. I would say this is probably for like 8 to 10 year olds.
Yeah,
this is kind of like that age group.
I think so.
You kind of gave a recommendation there with Invincible, and I would second that. It's a very good show. I'm going to finish it. Again, started with those first two episodes. I think I hit a wall because of the weekly release, and I forgot, and I didn't catch up. So now that I realize that, I'll do that. But I would recommend, I'm going to recommend something as well. We usually do this on Media Nerds. A movie called Freaks on Netflix, and it's not the classic black and white film you might be thinking of, Freaks, which is, you know, One of Us. That was just a
I know classic. That one.
It's very, very freaky. This is a superhero movie, kind of. It's speaking of superhero twists, this is like a movie starring Bruce Dern and the guy from Into the Wild, and I will never remember his name. What is that guy's name? Into the Wild?
The actor or the character?
The actor who played that guy from Into the Wild.
I just remember Eddie Vedder sang the songs. That's all I remember.
Emil Hirsch. And it's about like, it's like a future, dystopian future kind of thing where people with superpowers are persecuted and treated very poorly. And this is a common thread. We've seen this in a few movies. I've seen a couple movies with the same theme, but this one is like, there's been a disaster because kids, it's like they're born with it and they're like mutants in the X-Men. So kids can have superpowers and they can have very powerful superpowers. So there was some kid who blew up Dallas. And so now they basically hunt these people down and kill them. They shoot them on sight. It's pretty intense. So anyway, so Bruce Dern and Emil Hirsch basically are like these people who have this little girl who's got superpowers. And there's all kinds of interesting... kind of twist to it and good superpowers. Like it's interesting and different superpowers, like time, managing to pause or slow down time and that kind of stuff, which is great. But there's actually another, what's he called? What's his name? I got to look up the, I forget. He's from Winnipeg. He's an actor from Winnipeg who's in like Planet of the Apes and that kind of stuff. Do you remember, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
What is his name? Hold on one second. I'm going to look this up.
Adam Beach.
No. He was in Suicide Squad. No, cast is, he is like, and a former colleague of ours knows him. Alex Ponovic. You might remember him from the Hawkeye series. He played the head of like the gang of those guys.
Yeah.
Those guys, he was like the goofy kind of funny guy. He is in this at the end, and he plays like there's a moment where this little girl kind of takes over his body, and so he plays like a little girl, and he does it so well, and it's such a good performance. I just have to give him credit for that, because that was my favorite part of this movie. But it's a lot of fun and it's really interesting. So Freaks, it's a horrible title for it, because there's already a movie called Freaks, and that does not describe this film. It's what they call them, like in the story. Freaks is like the derogative term for people with superpowers. I'm like, you could have come up with something else. There's a million other things you could have said instead of freaks. And I don't like that they kind of, and they're probably counting on the confusion among people who are clicking on it thinking it's something else. So good movie, bad title, but I would recommend Freaks.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
All right. Is that it? We all good?
I think that's it. I think we did our time.
We did. We're done. Okay, that's going to do it for this episode of the Star Wars Nerds. I'm Dan Vademacher.
I'm Kenton Larson. Don't let the Force hit you on the ass.